More than 300 people have been killed across Turkey and Syria after a magnitude 7.8 earthquake struck the southeastern region of Pazardzhik. But tremors were felt in several provinces around there, as well as Syria and Lebanon. In Syria alone, the death toll already stands at 230. The tremor lasted a minute, causing hundreds of buildings to collapse. Turkey is reporting upwards of 70 deaths, and as day breaks, rescuers are frantically searching for survivors.
We ask our citizens outside the affected region to reduce their mobile phone activities. Especially, I would like to warn everyone about disinformation. Sharing any misleading information through social media now would be the biggest treason to this country.
Well, for more on this, I'm now joined by Sinem Kosioglu, who's monitoring developments for us from Istanbul. And Sinem, obviously a huge earthquake like this requires a huge emergency response. What's the government been doing so far?
Well, Tom, this is one of the biggest earthquakes that Turkey has experienced within the last couple of decades, following Istanbul earthquake back in 1999. Currently, I'm seeing that Turkish Foreign Minister, Vice President and the parliamentary spokesperson are speaking on air live, describing the details of the situation and the measures the government has been taking since early morning today. We first heard the Turkish Interior Minister, who is in charge of the Disaster Management Agency, talk about the issues, and he said that rescue workers have been dispatched to the area, and many governors are many governors were also deployed to the area by the order of the Turkish president. And he said that he made a call that in order not to interrupt any rescue works or any health facilities, ambulances reaching to the area, citizens shouldn't be taking to the roads with their cars. But the situation is dire, of course, as you can imagine, because the earthquake was 7.4 magnitude, according to Turkey's Disaster Management Agency. But to some other outlets, it was 7.4, one of the biggest of its kind. And it affected 10 cities in eastern Turkey. It was even felt in Black Sea city of Trabzon, İzmit, Cyprus, Lebanon, Syria, damaging many buildings. And so far, according to the official figures, 76 people have died under the leveled buildings. And many buildings have leveled in the area, in some of the cities, including the epicenter, Kahramanmaraş, Pazardzhik district, and Malatya, Adıyaman, Diyarbakır, and other places. And this is a very difficult time for the Turkish government, who has increased its alarm level to level 4, which also requires international assistance. So we have been hearing from the friends and neighboring countries of Turkey that they're ready to assist. We heard U.S. National Security Advisor Sullivan issuing a statement saying that the United States is also ready to help. We heard Israel, and we heard their minister saying that a swift aid program is being prepared right now. And Azerbaijan, Turkey is one of the friendly and, as Ankara calls, brother country, is sending 370 rescuers to help Turkish rescue workers in this big work that will be ongoing in 10 different cities, which means many, many people. But this is a very tragic situation in Turkey, in Syria, and in surrounding areas that have been affected by this great earthquake, Tom.
Can you just tell us a little bit more about the cities and the towns and the region? For those of us that don't know that area particularly well, how large are they? How developed are they?
Well, the earthquake mainly affected the eastern and southeastern part of Turkey, and the epicenter, Kahramanmaraş, is eastern Turkey. The earthquake was less than 8 kilometers deep, so it was very close to the surface, according to the experts. This is why many cities, 10 more cities, were directly affected. For instance, in the morning, when I first woke up with a call from a friend by a friend in Diyarbakır, he first thought that the epicenter was Diyarbakır. So the cities that were also affected, that were not the epicenter, also felt as if they were the epicenter of this earthquake. And those eastern cities, some of them are developed eastern cities, some of them are big, some of them are small. But since Turkey is prone to earthquakes, especially after 1999 earthquake in Istanbul, there was a new there have been new regulations on the building structures. So apparently, what we look when we look at to the news and when we look at to the reports, we see that the new buildings that are in line with the new earthquake regulation were able to stay up. But most of the buildings that have leveled so far are the old buildings. For instance, in Malatya, one of the most prominent hotels in the city, even though Malatya is one of the developed cities in eastern Turkey, one of the prominent hotels was leveled. We are hearing these kinds of reports. Many apartment buildings have been leveled and people are trapped inside. Of course, building quality is always a life changer when it comes to earthquakes, even though it's a very, very strong one.
And do we know how some of the infrastructure has held up under this earthquake and the aftershocks? The airports there still open? And what about the health facilities as well? Obviously, the hospitals will be inundated with the injured. How are they coping at this stage?
Well, of course, some of these hospital buildings are reported to be damaged. The airports are open, but the weather condition is the challenging factor here, Tom, because Turkey has been under heavy storms and snows for the last couple of days. Even in Istanbul and the Turkish capital, Ankara, it's been a tough weekend. For instance, last night, even before the earthquake, the flights from Istanbul and Ankara to the eastern Turkey were cancelled. Now we are hearing that the Turkish airline company is going to launch more flights to the region because also some medical supplies and emergency aid supplies are being transferred from big cities to the area via flights. That's why more flights are needed. The main infrastructures are set to be safe for now, but for instance, we saw an explosion, a fire in some cities like Hatay after the earthquake. But for instance, to the area, to some of the areas, natural gas has been cut in order to avoid any kind of explosions or fires. They are taking, the officials are saying that they are taking the necessary measures to avoid any kind of casualty or any extra disaster that can be caused by this earthquake. But so far, main infrastructures are said to be safe.
Okay, Sinem, you were speaking last hour about some of the bad weather that's been affecting Turkey. What impact is that having on the search and rescue effort?
Some of the cities in eastern Turkey are under heavy snow. And the winter conditions in that part of Turkey, eastern Turkey, are always heavy. And now, for instance, in Gaziantep, we know that people are outside trying to stay safe under snow. In some cities, there is heavy rain. These are, of course, challenging the rescue workers, their work, as they need to go inside the leveled buildings and try to rescue trapped people. Because of this rain and snow, it makes mud and it makes the rescue work more difficult. Looking from the civilian side, it is more challenging for the civilians, as even for a small earthquake, you know, people get, when it happens at night, people are scared, they're frustrated, they get outside, and until they feel safe, they do not return to their apartments or houses. And in this situation, for the civilians to stay outside under snow and rain, when the weather is very cold, it is a difficult task, and we don't know when they will be able to return to their homes, even though their homes are not damaged, because so far, since 6:30 a.m., there has been at least 66 aftershocks, and the strongest was 6.6 magnitude, according to Turkey's Disaster Management Agency, which is a sign that still there is a danger because even the aftershocks are measured to be around between 5 and 6.6. The reason of this is that Turkey has...
OK, Sinem, we're going to have to interrupt you there because Turkey's vice president is speaking from Ankara now. We're going to listen in to him now.
Ready for operation. Regarding hospitals, I gave you the data. Some hospitals have been affected. All buildings that are hosting hospitals have been affected, and we are doing our best in order to give assistance to the people. We have provided tents, and some camps are ready in the nearby areas. Also, we have other creatures that have been affected by the earthquake. We have our animals, and in this, we have cattle. And in this regard, the ministry has formed a committee to provide the necessary support in order to protect the animals from the cold weather and to protect the animals from the consequences of this bad situation. Also, we have provided so many areas with the necessary tent and equipment in order to keep our wealth of animals. Turkey is working hard, doing its best to intervene and to help within the coordination of different governorates and coordination of different ministries. Rescue operations have already started, and we are in contact with every concerned party in this regard. And we have also received information of so many countries that are ready to help. We might request some medical supplies, medical equipment. Our citizens at the same time are quite ready to help and assist their brothers and sisters in these disaster areas. And we are organizing this all together. We will be able to provide the needy people with their needs of supplies and blankets and tents. And in this connection, there will be some bank accounts to receive the donations and help. AFAD will be doing this job. We urge our citizens to work hard to help through AFAD. Once again, my condolences to our people, and I wish safety to everyone. And I ask Allah Almighty to keep us and to prevent us from all disasters. We know that Turkey is an area of earthquakes, so we have to deal with this situation. And we know that the earthquake in itself is not the main reason of deaths, but the old buildings are the main reason and cause of the so many deaths. And we need to get our lesson, and we will go forward according to our preparations and with the directions of the president and the ministers. We will be learning our lesson, and we will be estimating the degrees and measures and volumes of how to rescue our citizens. This is our priority. This is our main topic and main matter. To provide people with food and water is also another priority, and the infrastructure has to be taken off, and inshallah, our areas will be fine after the earthquake. We'll be able, after the earthquake, to operate high on the necessary speed. It is a big earthquake, but at the same time, we appreciate all the kinds of cooperation and coordination between the members of our people. All safety for Turkey, all safety for the Turkish people. I'd like to thank the Speaker of the Parliament, and we are here in Ankara doing our job.
Okay, that was Fuat Oktay, the Vice President of Turkey, announcing that the death toll has risen to 284 and some flights have been suspended due to damage at several airports in the region. We're going to go back to Sinem Kosioglu, who's monitoring developments for us from Istanbul. Before we heard from the Vice President there, you were speaking about some of the bad weather that has been hampering the search and rescue efforts. Can you just tell us a little bit more about how they are dealing with that and what effect that is having?
Well, Tom, I have been speaking to people living in Gaziantep, Diyarbakir and other places. For instance, in Gaziantep, where also a huge number of Syrian refugees are residing, there is heavy snow and people are outside. People are trying to stay in their cars. That's why some experts have been making calls that the gas stations should provide free gas to these people because they cannot go inside, and staying outside under snow is impossible. And we heard Turkish Vice President saying that the gas line in Marash and Gaziantep may take days to repair. So this is very important that we are hearing from the Vice President. Supplying gas to the area, heating those, warming up these people is going to be very difficult, and probably they will need to take these places to big buildings, even mosques. So it is very difficult for them to stay outside because so far, yes, there are buildings that have been damaged or that have been leveled, but the damage on the buildings are not determined yet. So is it safe to go? Is the main structure of those buildings are safe to take back those people? It is still unknown. And since there are 10 cities that have been affected by this big earthquake, this seems to be there will be days probably for them to go back inside, talking from the previous earthquake experiences in Turkey, even in Eastern Anatolia just 2 years ago. So this is a very tragic moment for especially the civilians in Turkey right now.
It certainly is. Thank you so much, Sinem. We'll no doubt be talking to you throughout the day.